Welcome everyone to the Screamcast, episode number 46. I am Sean DeRager, and with me is Brad Henderson.
Yo.
What's up, man?
Hi. How are you?
Good. I'm all right. Surviving.
Good. Sounds like
a boss.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry, people. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I just said it. All right. We have a great show today. We're going to be talking to the Vinegar Syndrome fellas. Kind of a different, we're kind of going in a different direction today. We're not really discussing one movie. We're going to be talking to Brandon and James.
Yes, right? James. Yeah. It's a really, really hard name to remember. You're doing the best you can. That's what counts. Hey.
So we're going to be talking to them about Vinegar Syndrome in general and their Indiegogo. So that'll be good. We'll probably have more of these types of shows pop up here and there, kind of change up the pace a little bit. But first, before we do that, we got some Blu-ray announcements to get to.
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Bum, bum, bum.
I don't know why you have to add musical interlude. There's already music.
You say that all the time. You just should know that I just like to hear the sound of my own voice.
True.
Man, January is easy. Like, yeah, not a lot. This is the savings month.
Mm-hmm.
So, first, we're not... For the show, because, I mean, as you can probably tell, there's different things that are coming to the show, different structure. Just,
we're streamlining.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. Yeah. We're just molding the show into what we think people want to hear and from feedback and all that stuff. So anyways, the Blu-ray announcements are going to change as of today. we're not going to shout off things that are 6 months ahead. Like, it's just too much.
I can't even remember. Don't remember.
You know, yeah.
I don't even remember. And then you give me shit.
And being that, well, you're an ass. and also we're covering like other, you know, other countries, and we're doing more because we've had comments about why don't you, you know, mention this. And since Kino's like doing some Revenge of the Ninja stuff, doesn't fall in the horror. But like I said, we don't really want to focus 100% on horror, and we're not going to. So. We're just going to do by month, not by monthly, but every month. So January, over in the UK on the 19th, they had The Man Who Knew Too Much and Tenebrae, or Tenebra, if people want to say it that way. That actually got re-released by Arrow.
I say Tenebrae.
Well, in the film, they don't say it like that, Sean.
Totally getting it.
You could go jump off a cliff. January 20th was Fright Night, Annabelle, and the Thanksgiving combo. Well, it was a Fright Night. Wait, no, that was. Was that on the 26th? 27th?
No. Fright Night's a sensitive subject with me right now because my fucking mailman has it or something. I don't know.
He's watching some
Jackass.
It's some Fright Night.
My freaking USPS tracking says it's been delivered, but it fucking hasn't, you son of a bitch.
He probably listens to the show and knew you were going to get it. He's probably a fan of me. and also in the UK, we just had 88 films released, Toxie 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Then Arrow picked up Honeymoon. Honeymoon was released earlier this year by... Magnolia? Like, I think it was. Yeah. But anyways, Honeymoon's a movie that I dig a lot. So
yeah,
it's in the US now. It's in the UK. I highly suggest picking it up. And then also on, today, Open Windows, Nacho Vigalondo's Open Windows is out. And so is Why Don't You Play in Hell, which is Draft House. I haven't seen Why Don't You Play in Hell. I have it. I'm going to watch it very, very soon. I know that movie's getting a lot of play, but I'm not that big of a fan of those types of films. But I heard it's more like gangster-esque rather than, you know, some of this other other, because I don't know how you would lump that in. That being I haven't seen it, it feels like it's one of those, you know, there's a movie coming out right now called R100 that I really, really did not like. And also, just kind of like the dance party, I call them Japanese dance party movies. That's what they feel like to me. Even if they're not Japanese, they fall into the Japanese dance party mix. But anyways, that's getting some buzz. Open Windows, I do not like that movie at all.
Oh, man.
And I was very, very excited. And I really like Nacho Vigalondo. But that movie, just all around, people just did not like. I've only heard one person say they enjoyed it.
Really? So, this is Elijah Wood and Sasha Gray.
Yeah, it's a great duo. But, man, that movie is just it's just too much. Hmm. It's just too much. But yeah, that's it. That's it for January. We can kind of take a break, save your money, because February and April are fucking nuts if you are a avid buyer of physical media. You will go broke. So this year is already gearing up. Like, I'm just going through like stuff in the UK and stuff in the US. It's just too much.
Yeah, February really is going to ramp into March, and March is all those Kino titles. Holy shit!
Yeah, March, holy May, shit. it's all over the board.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. I mean, and plus, you know, one thing that I'm really digging is that 88 Films is doing they're the next one to like look out for, because you know it's funny because you know the Scream comes aboard and we're all like, oh my god, Scream Factory, and now we're kind of like, oh yeah, Scream Factory. But like 88 Films started up this slasher collection thing that's pretty cool. They're releasing Slaughterhouse, which is a big deal. They're also doing Don't Go Into the Woods. Vinegar Syndrome's doing that over here. You know, they're doing Graduation Day, which is already released by Vinegar Syndrome. But they also have 88 Films Italian that they're doing. They're doing Italian line. So that means we're probably going to get some exploitation shit from over there. And that's going to be exciting, because the more and more Italian films that are released by Blue Underground and 88 Films, there's a good chance I'm going to get Raiders of Atlantis this year.
Yes.
I'm just praying. Please.
Do you think that like 88 Films can get away with releasing things like The Last Shark and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
Retromedia.
Retromedia did that one, and they killed the Blu-ray release. But Scream announced, you know, that one shark movie.
Well, they did that because they were scared of
legal action,
That movie has been on DVD before over here. And it's like they're just – I guess that they're playing it smart just in case, because since they are a bigger company, they – you know, some people could go after them. But, dude, like those Italian films, like no one really gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna get released. There's no problem with them, you know. And most of them have been on DVD at one point. And of course, they've made many, 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 many appearances over here on VHS. So
yeah, well, I wonder if 88 Films would take a chance. You know, if they'd be willing to take a chance on the, more of those Italian flicks. You know,
well, their first thing that I think the first film that they announced, I don't think they've announced too many. I think only one is The Night Train Murders, which has been already released over here by Blue Underground. But yeah, Night Train Murders is fucking awesome. I highly, highly recommend picking that up when it comes over there if you don't have a region free. And also if you live in the States, you can pick that shit up on Blu-ray, because it's really, really good. It's a kind of a take. It's actually, the alternate title was like Last House on the Left on a Train, basically, part two. It's very much the kind of the same premise, which there was a movie in like the 60s or 70s called The Virgin Spring that used that same element that Last House on the Left used. But anyways, it's really brutal and very uncomfortable, but very, very good. So
cool.
Recommend it.
Very nice. All right.
Recommend it.
Well, let's bring the guys from Vinegar Syndrome in, and let's talk some porn.
We'll be right back.
Brad, I'm excited about our guest today.
Boner.
you introduced me to Vinegar Syndrome in 2014 when we started up the show, and at first, you know, you kind of brought it up as more as you know, they had a few horror titles, and but there was pornography mentioned, and I was a bit worried that we
I think I won you over by Night Train of Terror.
You did, yes. That's what I'm getting to. You showed me a couple titles, and then Night Train of Terror was my first purchase from Vinegar Syndrome, and I was like, all right, these guys are on board with these batshit crazy flicks. So, so that was my introduction to Vinegar Syndrome. So welcome, guys. We got Brandon and, I'm sorry, who else?
James.
Sorry, James.
I'm a little forgettable. It's okay. I spent all my time in a film archive buried in boxes and film camps, so it's unforgettable.
We forget about it sometimes. It's okay.
Well, it was not my intention, so glad to have you guys on the show just to talk to you guys about what you guys have been doing. Brad, you've had the most experience with these guys, so I'm going to let you
kind of... I just can't stop masturbating. You gotta give me a second.
I'm going to let you kind of take it away here.
Well, I found out because I was just searching like through Amazon or whatever, and I stumbled across Punk Vacation on Blu-ray, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And so I looked at it, and I was like, "What company is releasing Punk Vacation?" Because I remember that title. So I Googled it, and I looked up VHS art, and I'm like, "Holy shit, I totally remember that!" But why is exactly this movie released? Like, there's really no reason. And then I saw what Vinegar Syndrome was doing, and I was like, oh shit, they're actually going through and releasing some of these like rare, you know, exploitation, sexploitation, just you know pornography, just really digging the depths of like the bowels of cinema and just scraping these things off the surface and giving them new life, because I mean some of this stuff is dead, you know.
Extremely lost or extremely dead, but we're bringing it back.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing, you know, I'm always a big pioneer of is, you know, giving things a shot. Nothing should die, whether it's the worst, even if it's a Fred Olin Ray movie, Sean, it should never, ever go away. And, you know, that's sad because, I mean, the only thing to keep some of these things alive is, you know, online sharing, you know, people that actually have, you know, prints of this stuff or, you know, even just VHS copies that are uploading them, because once those copies are gone, we don't have anything. And then, you know, the film deteriorates, hint why it's called Vinegar Syndrome as well, their company. Yep. So, yep. You know, it's just a cool thing. And then I was looking at their future releases, and then I saw they were, you know, releasing a Ted Mickles double feature, and then, you know, Night Change of Terror was coming out, and I was like, man, these guys they're just all over the place. So that's, I emailed, I think it was James at the time. I was like, holy shit, you know, this is, you know, last year probably. I was like, you know, you see what you're doing. And so they, you know, they sent me a couple things, and then just ever since then, I mean, I mention them every day. I stare at the movies every day on my shelf. So, I mean, yeah, you guys are just all over the place. And my main question to you is, because I know that, you know, even in the Indiegogo for the campaign, you know, you have you guys going through a warehouse. You literally have a warehouse of movies.
Yes,
so how did that happen?
We have a film archive in a indescript building in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and basically a few people got together that are in that world and found different ways to come together with the actual film elements, and through different avenues, we have a really nice film archive.
Yeah.
And another cool thing we do is everything, all the restoration, everything is in-house. So, you know, the film archive, the actual in-house restoration offices, it's like it's all, you know, within 20 feet of each other. So we're, you know, we grab the film, we clean it, we bring it right into the scanning room, and we scan it, and then we bring it to restoration and move from there.
Wow.
Now with the elements that you've acquired, like, now are those just from just a passive group of collectors amongst, you know, other companies that probably just had them? Like, how did all that come about?
It's a jumble. It's a big maze jumble where sometimes people will come to us, other times we will seek people out. You know, there's a lot of interesting collectors that help us out, and then there's other people that were involved with making the films that helped us out. So it's always a different road to take.
And occasionally, well, more often than not now, because, you know, everyone's switching to just actual digital production versus actual film production. So a lot more labs have been, actual film labs have been closing.
Hmm.
And a lot of times they have a ton of extra archival film. And, you know, sometimes if it's stuff we're interested in, we'll buy it outright and then go from there. So you never know how you're going to get a film, a type of film like this.
I just imagine you just walk up and down the aisles of the film archive, just, you know, just getting goosebumps. That's how I feel. Like that,
you feel that way until each one's 60 pounds and you have to carry it.
Yeah, no, I saw like the campaign and I saw like the film archive and I'm like, holy crap, I could just imagine. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing.
But yeah, it's, no, I'm surrounded by art all day. It's a quite an enjoyable day every day.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
and especially the stuff that you're, you know, for discoveries alone, because I mean, there's been a few. I mean, for the majority of the films, you know, they're new to me. And now a lot of that is the, you know, the pornography, because that's something that I wasn't really, you know, I mean, yeah, I watch porn, big deal. But, you know, some of the older stuff, you know, the vintage hardcore stuff, I just was very unfamiliar with. And I didn't have any, you know, I just didn't really care to see it at the time. And then I got a couple copies from you guys and I watched it and I totally have changed my whole perspective on the whole thing, because, you know, at first I was like, okay, it's, you know, hardcore pornography, but it's actually so, so much more than that. I've said this on the show countless times because, you know, you can ask Sean every fucking episode I have to mention.
Yeah, I'm like, are you on their payroll now or what's going on here?
So no, but you know, they're actually movies with a little bit of pornography. I've told people, I was like, you know, nowadays we have, you know, a scenario with 45 minutes of sex. These movies, they're like an hour and a half with like maybe 10 minutes.
They're more realistic.
Sex. You know, and it's
depending on the director, the amount of sex change, but
yeah,
no,
yeah,
but
for the most part, you know, they're enjoyable films. I mean, something that I truly enjoyed was Dracula Sucks. I thought that was a great, you know, a great release. It kind of like, you know, and also you put, you know, the version on there without the sex as well, as, you know, kind of a double feature. But yeah, I just like, it's just amazing of what I think people are missing, even if pornography is not their thing. Yes, there is movies that have a lot of sex, but there's also a few that, you know, the sex is just minor, and very, very short. It's like literally feeling each other up, few seconds of penetration, and then money shot, you know?
But, you know, a funny thing about that too is, I read an interesting comment. I like to quote for, it was someone who said our recent release of the limited edition of Sex World that came out by Anthony Spinelli, they said that's a good film to introduce someone to who really feels really uncomfortable with pornography, because that film, I mean, that's probably my favorite actual film with sex in it, because there's so much. He tried to really emulate like what, you know, it was basically, he was trying to do a play on, you know, Westworld and Future World. So he did Sex World and it was a lot of sci-fi. There's even a couple shots which almost remind me of like stuff David Lynch would use in a couple films. So,
oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, you never know with these films. Yeah. They have sex in them, and yeah, they're sometimes it could be uncomfortable depending for the person if they're watching, but then you suddenly realize, wow, there's like an actual storyline, and wow, they actually like, they spent a decent amount of time, you know, lighting these scenes and trying to actually like,
oh, totally. Yeah.
getting through the entire scenes with the actors, and, you know, and you see the behind the scenes with some of the actors, and, you know, they really try to do their best in terms of not just the sex, but the acting as well.
I mean, you have that from Bob Chin alone, just like with, you know, Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls is just a fucking funny movie. Like, it really is. you know, and like it's legitimately comical. And there's, you know, I mean, it's funny because you say like 80s sex comedy, which it is, but I'm just saying it reminds me of those like stuff like Hard Bodies and things like that, you know, just with, you know, hardcore pornography. And same thing with Prisoner of Paradise. Like he's kind of making a war epic in a way. But it's actually John Holmes just fucking some Nazis. Yeah. But, you know, it's just fun to watch these types of things. And really, like, these filmmakers, yeah, they're pornographic directors, but they're actually really, really trying. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to bring a quality product. Because, I mean, back then, you know, when stuff like Deep Throat was coming out, people wanted to see pornography in the theater, and people also wanted to see movies. So they had this bright idea of blending the two together, and it just is it's a perfect blend. So yeah, it's just something that I've really opened my eyes to. And the same thing is like Cult Epics has released some of the Tinto Brass things, and that's really got me into Tinto Brass, because it's kind of the same, you know, that same line of, you know, light pornography, you know, just as a comedy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I highly suggest, even if you're, you know, listeners that are kind of on the edge of like, oh, you know, I don't know about the porno, it's more than that. Trust me. I mean, yeah, you're going to stumble up onto things that's just all fucking, but you're also going to stumble onto things that actually are legitimately like good films. So
yeah, I was going to ask you guys, how did you initially stumble into? I mean, was this the vintage pornos like something you guys kind of stumbled into, or was it, you know, kind of a plan from the beginning of when Vinegar Syndrome kind of started up?
Well, even it kind of, I guess, start really from the beginning. We wanted to do everything with exploitation. And for, you know, I'm assuming most listeners know what exploitation is, but in basically you can make an exploitation film now, but most people consider it from the late 60s to the, you know, really to the 80s. But we wanted to do everything in exploitation, and that also includes, you know, the X-rated films you would go see on 42nd Street. Okay. And it wouldn't just be for the Raincoat crowd. Everyone would go see Deep Throat and stuff, and, you know, films like that on 42nd Street. But it really did start with our first release, which was The Lost Films of Herschel Gordon Lewis. Two of them were just, you know, these, like, softcore type of, like, sex dramedy. You know, one was a sex Western. The other was an outright comedy. But the third one was Herschel Gordon Lewis's Black Love, which is, I think it's the only X-rated film he directed, even though at first he said it didn't exist. But then we found it. And then he said, well, it's not X-rated. And we did put it out, and it definitely is X-rated. And but it really started from there. And then, you know, our third release, even, that was when we got into Anthony Spinelli, and that became a really popular release. That's the Expectations and Confessions double feature, which I think still might be our top bestseller, you know, since we started. They're just two really good storylines that happen to have a lot of sex. Not a lot, like a fair amount of sex in him, but, you know, Spinelli was one of those directors. He would really try to, you know, make the, you know, he would include the sex in it, but not base the film entirely off of it.
Mm. Yeah. So. Well, I mean, that's the same thing with, like, Sex World. I mean, we have a, you know, a big, it feels like a big Hollywood budget movie, you know? Yeah. We're watching, you know, kind of like a, almost, even when I was watching, I kept thinking, like, 2001 Space Odyssey a lot. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that it's just amazing to watch. And, you know, you mentioned like Deep Throat. I remember when the Deep Throat documentary came out, they were interviewing an old lady, and, you know, they were like, why are you here today? And she's like, I wanted to see a movie. Well, why are you getting some Deep Throat? She's like, I wanted to watch a porno movie, you know, and she's on 42nd Street. It's just like, you know, at that time, it was a lot different, because now, I mean, the way the world has views porno is because we just have straight up fucking, you know, and it's completely different from back then. So I'm hoping, and I know a lot of people have, but I'm hoping that, or, you know, some of our new listeners that just are tuning into the show, and some of our old listeners that, you know, start slow, you know, and bring yourself in. If you're totally against, you know, all penetration, then, you know, you can stay away from that. But there's actually a lot of titles in here that are a lot of fun. So
yeah. When did you guys start, like moving into more titles like Graduation Day and Christmas Evil? Was that something initially planned, or did you start trying to like broaden your horizons a little bit with the label?
That was kind of initially always the plan. Uh-huh. I think that the logistics of our archive, you know, starting off is at the time we had more X-rated,
right?
Regular exploitation and stuff. But since then, you know, we've really expanded our library. I think we're going to have at least, even like this year, I think we're going to have at least two or three more like straight up horror titles this year. And then I think, you know, possibly a couple more even than that. But we also have, you know, actual exploitation films coming as well. But that was always kind of the plan from the beginning, you know. You know, even the second release, which didn't make it out as well, but those were two horror films. Mm. You know, Savage Water and Death by Imitation, which, you know, we put Death by Imitation back out on release number 8 with Dungeon of Horror. And, you know, that was kind of always the plan, to do everything in exploitation. And, you know, it just started off that, yeah, we have more X-rated than everything else, but... You know, since then we're basically trying to even it out. You know, we're not gonna stop with the X-rated by any means, but we do want to add more of the other, from the other genres. Yeah.
I think Synapse is another one that does about the same, right, Brad? They have,
yeah, they've dabbled into
them and Cold Epics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cold Epics, I don't know if I've ever seen anything with actual penetration.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, that's a big difference. You know, it's,
you're the expert.
Well, now I am. You know, it was funny because, like I said, you know, last year, the beginning of the year, I got a package from James, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do with porno. Like, how do I really review porno? And I tried something, and it actually succeeded. It did really well on, I write for a site called Pop Shifter, shameless plug.
It's a great website.
Thanks. Well, I hassle Vinegar Syndrome a lot, so I don't know if they're tired of me or what. But anyways, I did a drunk review of Marilyn and the Senator, because I got it in the mail and I'm like, what the fuck do I do with this? So I was like, all right, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pop it in, and the DVD, that is, and, you know, start it and start watching this movie and start writing and then just drink, because the movie's like 2 hours long, and I'm a lightweight.
It's a really long X-ray.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like a 2 hour X-ray movie, but it's so funny because, you know, I actually want to rewatch it when I'm not intoxicated. But, you know, anyways, to finish the story, I got drunk and more drunk. So basically, the writing. I mean, I'm not that great of a writer anyway. But by the end of the fucking review, I was just slammed. So I'm just like writing stuff like, I'm so happy she has the baby and, you know, babies are the world and blah, blah, blah.
The last paragraph is incredible. It's incredible.
Well, it's just one run-on sentence. But anyways, you know, watching that movie has everything, you know, and it has like this really odd, like, you know, because it's viewed as a comedy, but the ending is just a little dark, you know, and it's a big surprise.
Yeah, I restored that film, and it was a very interesting period of my life when I was restoring that film. When I watched it to QC it, it was another interesting point. You know, we all grow and learn from those situations, and I enjoyed your review of it a lot. I get a lot of reviews of some of our stuff, and I remember that one. And I was drinking my coffee one morning, and I almost spilled my coffee, and it was great.
Well, I've been meaning to bring it back. It's just I don't know how often I want to get tanked and watch porno.
I enjoy it.
I don't know what kind of example that's setting for your daughter, Brad. I just, you know.
Well, yeah, she doesn't know. She doesn't know. But anyways, you know, that's a title that I would truly recommend, because there is a lot of sex in it, but there's not a lot of, you know, like full course sex, I guess you would say. You know, I mean, there's literally
there's a lot of failure in it, though. After you,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, just what I'm
even
talking
that scene
about.
With Bill Marigold, he's eating chicken while he's getting his dick sucked. and he's all greasy and shit.
When we were talking to Marigold about it, he was talking about how when she was, and in the commentary he mentions it, but when they were doing the bondage and the actual, like, beating aspects, she didn't know what she was doing. So she was actually really hurting him when he was sitting her, when she was sitting him. And the chicken, I think that just the icing on the cake. So
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's definitely a fun one. Now, out of everything that you have released, that you have on the table, now, has there been any discoveries for you guys? Like something that you just, I mean, because how do you pick and choose what you're going to release and when? I mean, are you familiar with the film itself, or is it just something that, you know, you do screenings at the vault and like just discover things, or how does that work?
It depends, you know. Usually the co-owners decide the actual schedule. We have been having a really kind of have a tentative plan for, you know, the year in advance almost. But you know, everything can change because of that, but also it depends on, you know, what films we have and what films we discover. You know, for me, a good example of a film that was an absolute like joy to, I guess, discover, one of my favorite films that we still put out is The Telephone Book.
Oh, and, God, yes.
Yeah,
so good.
And that was such, you know, I think half of it was, I'm a big Christmas Vacation fan. So when I saw William Hickey, who's the drunk uncle, and him having an erection problem, literally the problem is it's not going away. And just seeing that, and then, you know, having all these Andy Warhol-esque moments, and, you know, an actual, like, Andy Warhol, a couple actors showed up for the film. And then, you know, you have that crazy 10-minute, you know, Robert Crumb animated style ending. That was, like, that's still, you know, that film really has, like, a place in my heart. And another plug for that, I think in March, Alamo Drafthouse, for our Vinegar Syndrome night, they're going to be playing it. I think that's in March. They'll be playing The Telephone Book. So
yeah, I've
definitely
recommend friends with a lot of people in Austin.
Yeah. So. James?
Yeah, we do as much research as we can, and sometimes we know exactly what we're getting, and other times we will be digging through things and have no idea what they are, and then put them on the scanner and discover things that just blow our minds. And one of the things that keeps me excited, especially when you're digging through something that people, you know, never really took care of, and someone else might have lost it or wanted to throw it away, and then you find something that's so amazing. That's a big, great part about my job.
One big help, you know, it's funny because we occasionally discover these films, or I'm trying to think of a couple of the, I think The Suckers was one where they didn't even have like an IMDb listing. They were so obscure. So we really have to do, you know, really get into the research of it. You know, one of our co-owners is a great historian. He knows all the stuff but we occasionally use, you know, there's a great website for people to check out. I think it's Temple of Schlock. Mm-hmm. I think that's the name of it. And what he has, it's actually called the Endangered List. And it's all these obscure lost films from that era that, you know, I think The Blue Hour was one as well, where we put that out, and that was on the Endangered List, where it was this, you know, these lost films, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, silent film from the 1920s, that has the largest amount of lost films, but the second highest is the exploitation era.
Yeah. Now it's now you said go back. You said The Suckers, that was on actually a list of, like, it was basically dead.
Yeah,
at that point,
you know, either no one thought any prints were in existence. No one knew if the negative was still alive or, you know, around or anything. And we did find a pretty good print of it. And we use the print because this is, you have to make those, you know, judgment calls where sometimes you find a pretty good looking print, but it's not perfect, versus do you want to wait and hold out and try and find the negative? Now, most of the time, if you find a print like that, it might be the only print in existence at this point. You know, the others could be lost or dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to make those calls. We made the call with The Suckers, and I feel it was the good call because we haven't heard anything at all, you know?
Yeah. Now, with things like that, I mean, like, what is the, you know, just kind of a, you know, a business side, a question now with films like that, that are literally unheard of. I mean, what is the overall goal, and also what makes you want to put that out rather than something, you know, that's like Christmas Evil or Don't Go Into the Woods, you know, like, you know, a James Bryan movie that people, at least there's a huge fan base for, not, you know, humongous, but way bigger than something like, you know, The Suckers. I mean, you just hopefully that will fall on and catch on, or like what's the strategy with that?
I think the strategy, I guess, first and foremost with our, you know, original mission statement, we want to rescue these films.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, maybe they won't sell great right away or at all if that happens,
yeah.
But we still want to get the films out there in the public eye, you know, have a nice scan of them just so, you know, we can preserve it and then
actually
keep the film in our archive. And so it, you know, when it comes to that, you know, we always, you know, hope and like for people to check out the lost, you know, the more obscure titles, I guess, in our library. But, you know, it's really just about saving them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're doing pretty good at that so far.
You're doing an excellent job. Excellent job.
I think this is a good launching pad to jump into the Indiegogo, kind of talking about film preservation and, you know, kind of selling through titles. Like, so jumping into like Vinegar Syndrome TV, this idea would be your, everything you guys restore, you don't have to worry about it going out of print or whatever. It's going to be there, you know, for everyone to check out and discover things. How did you guys jump into the idea for doing Vinegar Syndrome TV? Because you had a sort of streaming service before, right?
Well, we were going to, the plan was to actually do it was called Skinaflix.
Okay.
And the idea was basically, you know, you have all these porn sites on online, you know, people will know what I'm talking about, that, you know, you go and it's literally, you know, just sex, you know, modern porn stars and everything. And it's, you know,
yes,
just
I do.
But, exactly. But our idea was, okay, well, what if people actually want to see the actual X-rated from the 70s and, you know, having it look nice. So that was the idea with Skinaflix. But then the more we were thinking about it, well, it makes more sense to have that as, you know, a channel in the whole of, you know, vinegarsyndrome.tv, and we'll do, excuse me, all X, you know, the entirety of exploitation. So that's when we decided to really, you know, include the X-rated into a much larger idea. So, that's how it really started with there. And the basic gist of it is, you know, for vinegarsyndrome.tv, we plan to launch with at least 200 titles. And it's basically, the basic idea is we're still going to put out, you know, the physical media, mm-hmm. The Blu-rays, DVDs. But this is for someone who, you know, you're traveling and you can't bring your Blu-ray player with you at all times, you know. And so we're, you know, probably going to have just about all, you know, all the titles we have on physical media, but we're also going to put up, you know, site exclusives, more obscure, like 16 millimeter prints, you know, some even more obscure, like early John Holmes stuff. And, you know, we want to really hear from user feedback too. If they like a film that's on vinegarsyndrome.tv, but we don't have a physical copy of it out yet, but they really like it. You know, enough people say, we'll definitely listen. We'll put out a physical copy of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting an Indiegogo campaign. You know, the goal, well, our actual goal we have to raise is $100,000, but we really only really need to raise $50,000 from the actual Indiegogo, and you know, we're going to handle the rest. So
cool.
But that's the general idea. You know, we have a ton of perks up. You know, we have an exclusive DVD. We have an exclusive Blu-ray. It's actually a double feature with a DVD too. So that was kind of updated, but there's just a lot of perks for it. I think that a lot of people can that's the general idea of it.
Cool. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I mean, for me, like most of my discovery, like discovering new films, happens for me through streaming, you know, like Netflix or Amazon Prime or something like that. I'll take a chance if it's on streaming rather than trying to track down the DVD of it. So I think it could work both ways. I think it's a great idea. There's that whole like argument, like, is digital media going to overtake physical? Like, but for me, it kind of works hand in hand. Like, I feel like I've bought more movies since I've gotten Netflix and Amazon Prime, and there's certain movies I'll see and it's a horrible transfer, but then I'll hear that a company's putting it on a Blu-ray, so then I'll grab it. You know, Planet of the Vampires is a good example. I saw that first on Netflix. Is that something you guys are hoping would happen as well, or what are your guys' thoughts? I mean, you've obviously probably done more research into this than I have.
Yeah, we want the TV site to open up more. We want more people to find us, find the films, find the history, and be interested in it. We just want to expand to a larger audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, some people, they, you know, still, for, you know, they, or do they just don't like physical media, you know?
Yeah.
They just don't, they're not a collector, they don't want to buy anything. But, you know, they can pay for the service, and, yeah, they'll just, you know, have plenty of exploitation to go from there. All right. We also plan on, I think, adding between 6 and 10 titles each month. And, yeah, just go from there. Now, another thing, though, is back to what you were saying about, you know, with the physical media and everything. I feel like, at least, even in, I'll even say in my lifetime, I still don't think digital will completely overtake physical media. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is, a good example is vinyl.
Yeah.
And records. Because, you know, there's, you know, I'm one of them who are, yes, I have, you know, my digital music player and listen to in the car, but I still collect vinyl of bands I like, you know?
I'm looking at my collection right now.
Yeah. So I feel like the people who will check us out, you know, there'll be people who, you know, are just digital only. They'll love digital, but I feel like we'll also have, you know, actual physical media collectors like myself who just also like, you know, streaming if it's more convenient at the time, you know, because if not, I will go home and absolutely put in a Blu-ray or a DVD. But if I'm, you know, on the road and, you know, I want to watch something, or, you know, I can log in and actually watch a channel, you know, visa, you know, Netflix or a streaming site or something like that. So that's kind of the general idea for JiggerSyndrome.tv.
That's cool. And it's going to be on like on Roku and things like that, as opposed to online as well, or
it's definitely going to be on Roku. You should be able to access it online anywhere, no matter what. Like, if you're on a laptop but the stretch goals at, I forget the numbers, but two of our stretch goals are at 60,000. If we actually get, you know, punched through our $50,000 goal at 60,000, you know, that's when we'll be able to add an app for iOS, you know, for your iPhone. At 70,000, we'll be able to add an actual Android app. And then 70,000 plus, that's when we'll consider developing, you know, apps for, you know, Xbox One, PS4, or Apple TV, you name
it. So the kids can see it. I like it.
Hey.
I like how this is going. Support Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah, hey. I wonder how the iOS thing is going to work, because, you know, Apple, you know, is notoriously gets weird when it comes to, like, adult content.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not actually, I don't handle the actual, you know, negotiations. you know, I'm just here to operations and restore films. So.
Yeah. Hey, Apple, we'll just keep that on the DL. Okay? No one needs to know about that. It's just exploitation cinema.
Now, this will post on Tuesday, which is today, Tuesday, haha. but anyways, one thing I wanted to really just on the spot kind of give you props for is that, you know, a lot of campaigns, a lot of people are done with crowdfunding because there's way too many people that walk away with the money and never produce a product.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're a little bit more notorious. You're very well known. So something that you did that I noticed today because Sean and I were talking about it last night because he did the $100 donation. I said, well, I'm going to do the $200, you know, whenever. I said, because I don't think that one's going to sell out as quick. So the $100 sold out
I told
today.
You.
Yeah.
Well, no, here's the thing. But they're so – these guys are so fucking cool that they added a $110 for the same shit. Fucking thing.
Well, and that's the idea, you know. We don't want to jip.
But that's a good idea. Like you're understanding the crowdfunding. You like of all the it's funny because all the companies that are out there, all distribution companies, they get shit for different things. It's like you guys are you're avoiding each of that. Like because I mean everybody has their shit. Everybody people rag on Screen Factory for things. People rag on Well, not so much Synapse, I guess, because they do all right. But I mean, it doesn't feel like you're taking advantage, and that's a really really cool thing, and it shows that you actually care instead of just okay, 100's up, let's do the 200. But well, you add that in there. I have to give you props for that for sure.
Well, one of the things we really care about customer service. It's weird because we are. A really expanding company, but at the same time, we're very small. We only have a few people, we're actually working here. Mm-hmm. So, when, something goes wrong, you're talking to James or you're talking to myself or even one of the owners as well. So, we kind of thrive on customer feedback and, we can't always get to the email submissions about, hey, can you check out this title or anything? And, we'll definitely check out the titles and see what happens. But, with the crowdfunding, when we sold, we realized we sold out quick of the 100. Well, what can we do then? And we decided, we'll go with $110 because, we don't want it. That's what the people who spent 100, they basically got it for 100. And the people who are going to buy it for 110, it's only $10 more. And it's kind of the compromise, you got to work with. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is, we want
you care.
Yeah, we want the customer to feel really satisfied with their purchase, and we want them to, at least have a great experience. Just in general, either getting stuff from our website or watching our title, the whole package.
Yeah, we want everyone to be satisfied. We're satisfied when you're satisfied.
There you go.
Right.
No, I mean that shows. But one thing I did want to ask, because we go back to the whole acquiring films and things like that. Because obviously, you have a deal with Troma. Because you're distributing some of those, so that's something to look forward to. Other things that pop up. I mean, do you get word that the license is up or for a film and that's kind of up in the air? Like, how does that work? Because I mean, I don't want to start anything. I know Sean knows where I'm going with this. I'm not going to start an argument.
But no.
He doesn't listen to the show anyway. But anyways, like. What? We have like Don't Go Into the Woods and Madman, which is confirmed because I saw you post a picture of it the other day.
Oh yeah. Yep.
All right, cool. Yeah, I figured so. But
I think Madman's tentative schedule is May.
Cool.
That's tentative.
So I mean those were up and those were formerly Code Red releases. Mm-hmm. So do you get notation? Like how do you find out that that's up and then you go in? And, is there a bidding war on that for you guys? And that's how you acquire things or?
We have someone that deals with that kind of aspect of our company. We don't really deal with that. Brandon is more of the technical aspect. I'm more of the archiving aspect.
Yeah.
So we can't really tell you all that kind of stuff. But we have someone that is constantly on the phone, constantly dealing with stuff like that. And we try to keep everything fair and we don't. Have any negative aspect or thoughts about anybody else, we just try to be fair and keep everything nice.
Well, no, yeah, that's something you guys do. You don't, because I mean, there's plenty of distributors and people that run distribution companies that trash talk a lot.
Yeah,
and, you don't have any time for that.
Yeah, I know.
You can tell.
I'm just curious of how things run about, because I know that, because obviously, the person that's doing that is definitely on top of it. So, which I think is that I think is really cool.
Thank you.
No, well, one another thing, you know, really, it's with every company. You know, they no, I don't think most companies don't, you know, have rights for forever. You know, a good example is, you know, Criterion. Whenever a title goes out of print, it's usually when the rights expire for them. And that's you know, that's when Criterion's cost, you know, $500 on eBay. But, you know, a lot of companies deal with it. And, you know, we just sometimes the people contact us. You know, it all depends.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, no, you know, I think it's, you know, I think it's a positive thing. You know, if all of a sudden one of ours expires and someone's able to another company is able to rescue it, that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Something that you're doing that's really cool. And another thing that I you know, because, I mean, there's all different distribution companies and everybody's doing something, you know, their outlook is different, you know, their goals are different. But with you, a lot of the titles, if not all, there's no reason for it to, like, that is the final copy.
Yeah.
You know, which is something that's really cool. Like, you know, is there going to be a higher resolution? No. Like, are they going to put extra special features? Maybe. But, like, you know, you guys go all out on basically every title as much as you possibly can, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
To give a reason not to, you know, have – I mean, because I imagine somebody else is going to release it, of course. If they can get their hands on it and they want it on their label, fine. But, I mean, there's no reason why to rebuy anything. Because, I mean, that's the whole thing we went through with DVDs. Now, you know, DVDs, there's something better. There's Blu-ray. You know, after Blu-ray,
4K.
We'll get probably something else. Yeah,
4K
we'll get
Blu-ray.
Something else. 4K Blu-ray.
But are you going, like, is it really going to be that much better? And, you know, that's something, because, you know, you have to, people, collectors have to worry about double dipping. You know, because we get, you know, things that Scream Factory is releasing. They're releasing, you know, things that have already been on Blu-ray, and they're doing the exact same transfer. Like, what the fuck is the point?
Yeah.
So, but with you guys, you know, at least you're giving a reason why, even if some of these things are on DVD, which some of them have been, but obviously there's a lot more that you bring to the table with it.
Yeah, we love bringing things straight from VHS to Blu-ray. It's always exciting when we can do that.
Nice.
I mean, like, you know, the actual film. But another example, too, is even something we've discussed is, you know, we're with Death. A good example is Death Force. You know, we put out the DVD. We think it's a pretty good-looking DVD. It was from a it was from an inner negative or an inner positive. It wasn't from the actual negative. It was from, you know, a couple steps down. But, you know, at the time we didn't feel it looked great for Blu-ray. But then this company in Germany contacted us and said, we'll put it out on Blu-ray.
And I saw that.
Just for Germany. So they put it out and it sold out. And we're thinking, well, you know, and that's something we've talked about, too. You know, one of these films, let's say, you know, we find all of a sudden tomorrow we find the Death Force negative and it's pristine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hate double dipping as well. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, man, this looks 10 times better. You know, I want people to see it like that. So, you know, I kind of get where these other companies do double dip as well. You know, I hate when companies do use the same transfer, but just call it a different special edition.
There's one extra feature.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. But, and you know, with a company like Shout Factory, I kind of understand them too. Cause sometimes they don't have control over where they actually get their transfers, you know, giving some benefit of the doubt to Shout Factory. I think that's where we're very lucky, where we do the literal transfer ourselves. So, you know, if it looks wrong, we have only ourselves to blame and we'll fix it ourselves. So it all depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, that's something that, I mean, you've made a name for yourself that what you release is absolutely the best you can do. It's not, and you're always up front with what you have and how you're going to do it versus yeah. other companies that kind of just is like, oh, this is out now. And then we get it and we're like, oh boy, this is not too much different from what I have. Yeah. But anyways, I mean, that's a different story.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up from like VHS to Blu-ray, like a good example would be Runaway Nightmare, right? That was, that never had a DVD release, did it?
No, it had a VHS release, a brief one. Uh-huh. And even in the whenever the VHS came out, late '80s, early '90s, and yeah, that was a case where one of our co-owners, he knew the film, he loved the film, and he actually contacted the director, and the director was just so excited that people were super interested in it, and that, you know, we played Runaway Nightmare. I think you could call it the first Vinegar Syndrome night. It was just at the main Alamo in I think it was Austin, Texas.
Yeah,
and it played to a sold out crowd, and the director was just, the director Mike Cartel, he was just, you know, beyond ecstatic just seeing that whole aspect of it, because Runaway Nightmare is, you know, it's a really weird film, even for us. It's really, really wacky. You know, one thing I love about Runaway Nightmare is you think a X-rated sex scene is about to happen, and then it's that's like one of my favorite things about it.
And then what's great is you guys put in the cut added boob shots.
Yeah.
And those by themselves are just hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Because
in the context of the film, it makes no sense. Well, it kind of does, but the way that it's shot, obviously it was shot later, you know. Were those put in for the VHS release?
Yeah, it was a VHS. I don't think the director actually had control over. Yeah. So the VHS distributor at the time, which this is actually pretty common, you know, if a distributor was big enough and they didn't like, they wanted to, you know, add more, you know, zazz.
Sex it up.
Add some zazz.
They would, you know, shoot extra sex scenes or shoot another action scene, and just, you know, it could be with totally different actors and not match at all. But they'll still throw it in there just to add to it. So
that's awesome. Let's see here. And then, but I think, two of your most popular releases, well, three of them, have been Graduation Day, Raw Force, and Christmas Evil. Was that what you would say, Brad? They're three most,
I think the most talked about. Because they're coming from, you know, a history as far as like things being, like, kind of rediscovered. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that Raw Force is one around the table, because, I mean, that was even a film that I knew and loved. I don't know. I think a few of the – because those are obviously – because Graduation Day had, a DVD release from Troma. Mm-hmm. Christmas Evil was released on DVD by Synapse. But I think of things that are just kind of coming about that are just appearing. I know that the telephone book was, because that was, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned that was one of yours, and that was definitely, I compiled a new discoveries list, and the telephone book was number one. I mean, I saw that once when I got it, and then I turned around and I showed it to my girlfriend, because I was like, it's just a weird movie, and it's fun to actually explain and try to present, because it's a cute sex comedy that is like gets really down and dirty sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's very artsy at the same time. The movie has everything. And I know that I've spoken to people and I've turned people on to it, because I know whenever you guys were doing your Black Friday thing, I just went crazy and I was telling people to buy this, buy that, whatever. You know, and that was the number one that I really, really wanted to push. Because that one's actually extra special, because that's a legitimately like just good film. It has sex in it, but it's a really, really well made movie and everything like that. But I think things like that are getting a lot more love that are newer to people. But you said, what was the other one that you said it was one of the biggest sellers? Was it Expectations and Confessions?
Yeah, that was one of, you know, release number three. It was just the DVD and, you know, they were just two X-rated titles, but they were two pretty good stories. And, they just sold so well. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't even know the pressing we're on right now for them. But
that's awesome.
It sold so well. And, we're always just humbled still that people keep buying and sharing
these things.
And it's just fantastic.
That's awesome. We're running short on time for the interview portion here, fellas. But Brad, I think you and I, after this, we're going to kind of give our favorite releases list.
Yeah, we wanted to give you time.
But, I'm gonna call it the we'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to ask you guys, Brandon and James, if someone comes to you or you're trying to tell somebody about Vinegar Syndrome for the first time, like, what are your favorite titles that you like to kind of get them started on? I would call it a Vinegar Syndrome Virgin Survival Guide. You know,
all right. How many can we pick?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know, five. I don't know. I mean, you know,
just shout them out. Like, shout them out. Some of your things to start people on that maybe you're not familiar.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine we do have plenty of listeners that maybe not familiar with your work.
I think the number one to just get people started, just get them right into exploitation mode, is the Death Force Vampire Hookers double feature. Because those two could just get you, you know, nice and easy right into exploitation with a bunch of head chopping off and John Carradine spouting off Shakespeare surrounded by beautiful women. So.
And when it comes to me, I'm not someone who's going to hide. I'm always going to say what I think. And my favorite release that, you know, I want someone to see, if they're going to like what we put out, I would say that mine is Bijou, our all-male porno film. And I think it's a beautiful film set in a wonderful setting of 70s New York. And it's gritty and grimy, but it's also clean in a way.
It has the most unique
it has
version of Led Zeppelin.
It has a really interesting musical genre. It's basically each member in this pornography, each person taking part in it, has their own extreme acting ability. There's no dialogue, and they all put it out in wonderful ways in what they're doing. And I think it's wonderful. And if you're going to be someone who wants to see new things and check out new things, you should definitely try Bijou.
Nice.
Yeah, along with that, with Bible, Bible's amazing.
Yeah. But a couple others, Night Train of Terror, because that's horror anthologies with Bull from Night Court. You really can't go wrong.
I wanted to say that. I wanted to say Bull from Night Court as a Night Train of Terror.
Yeah. But, I still try to recommend our first release, The Lost Films of Herschel Gordon Lewis, just because they're so wacky. When you're watching Black Love, I think it's the ultimate, put it on at a party porn. Put it on and people are just like, why are you rotating? Why is
this? And I would split that too between another great party movie to put in the background if you have open-minded friends is Jungle Blue, which is a 70s film filmed in Peru where the natives have no idea what they're doing there, and it's like a jewel theft with Tarzan and sex between a man in a gorilla outfit and a lovely young lady. I think that's also a wonderful film.
That's the very first film that I watched with Janice, my girlfriend, for the first time. Like, I showed her The Telephone Book before, I saw it first and I showed it to her. But then I got Jungle Blue and I was like, oh, this looks weird. And I'm like, what is this going to be? Oh, boy. She looks over when the gorilla's, getting his dick sucked, and she's like, is this fucking real? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, I'm even uncomfortable. I don't even know what to say.
Is this real right now?
Wow. Talk about that. What a way to test a relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
That movie's all kind of fucked, but it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
There's also penis biting, which is a lot of I'm always a big pioneer of that.
My favorite, that's I think the only X-ray movie I've seen where it has the poor guy in the background during an orgy scene. He's just alone.
Oh God.
Doing nothing.
Yeah, but he has no idea what's going on though. Through the entire film, because obviously, I kind of felt bad at the same time. It was because obviously these natives have no idea they're in a porno movie.
Yeah.
He's kind of he's like a puzzle piece trying to fit into a puzzle that's already completed.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just feel bad for that guy.
Oh, yeah. You know, just I keep telling people, you know, just check out our website. It's at vinegarsyndrome.com. And then, you know, check out our actual Indiegogo campaign. You can just go to vinegarsyndrome.tv. It'll take you right to the campaign.
Nice. Okay.
So
great. Well, Brandon, James, I want to thank you guys for spending some time with us and talking about Vinegar Syndrome. It was probably one of my favorite discoveries, I think, of 2014 was discovering you guys.
Thank you.
I've been staying away.
Fuck your movies.
I've been staying away from the naughty bits, as I call them, but just because they would not go well in my household at this point in our relationship. But
you should do the doll squad. Your wife would love the doll squad.
Well, the exploitation stuff, I'm definitely I have a wish list of more movies that I want to grab. So I'll be excited to pick some things once the Indiegogo campaign is over. I'm excited to pick my what was it, four? I get to pick four of them or something.
How much was it? Oh,
it's $400. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll be able to fill in some holes and
I'll be picking 12.
Yeah, Brad will be going nuts. It's a good thing, you know. I consider myself fairly open minded. I just haven't jumped into that direction yet.
Yeah.
But I'm still like I bought Nymphomaniac. I still haven't watched that because I'm just, you know.
Hey, that's okay, man. Take your time.
We'll be here.
I got to ease into it with some lube. Lube.
I will still say good easing in to the
you
world.
You don't need any lube. No lube.
Sex world.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, just spit on it and put it in.
Wow. Oh, boy. All right. Well, I mean.
Wait, let my puppets come. You'll find out what that means.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks,
James.
Guys.
Pleasure
Appreciate
to talk to you guys. And stick around, everyone else. We'll be going through our Brad and I's Vinegar Syndrome Virgin Survival Guide in just a second.
It's just all the titles. I'm just going to shout them all off.
Now, Brad, let's jump into our Vinegar Syndrome Virgin Survival Guide. See, I can edit those sounds in. I don't need you.
No, I'll do it. I'm better.
Awesome.
It's so big.
Yeah. So basically, this is kind of an introduction. You know, this episode has been kind of an introduction to Vinegar Syndrome for those of you who like me are new into, diving into their catalog. So, Brad, I'm going to have you start it off because you've had
me
because you've had the most, experience.
Thank you, Sean.
You can, spit and ease it in a lot easier than I can.
All right, I'm going to shout these off as quick as possible. Everything. There you go. No, I mean, some of my favorites, because I'm a big avid collector. I just about have everything they've put out. But I would say starting off, like, to kind of get you in into the thing, since we, you know, talked about, like, if you're not into hardcore penetration right away. So some definitely things to look up is, I think the good starter is the Telephone Book is probably like my number one release by them. That was a new discovery for me. It was my first time seeing it last year. It's just an amazing movie. We talked about it already. And, it's fantastic, for a goofy, film that I remember seeing the cover art, like I said, was Punk Vacation. Maybe that's a little bit lower on the list. Once you start getting in and kind of understanding what they're doing when you like to cheese, you know, stuff like that. Another one that's a big one for me is the Ted Mikkels collection that they did. They did The Doll Squad and Mission Kill Fast. And Ted Mikkels, if you don't know Ted Mikkels, he's kind of like an Andy Sedaris, where he just puts beautiful women in skimpy outfits and have them kick ass. So Doll Squad is really fun. And Mission Kill Fast is not kind of like the Doll Squad, but it's just that cheesy action flicks. You know what I'm talking about. It's Andy Sedaris movies, basically. That's all it is. So I would suggest those. Also, another one that's very artsy fartsy and also something for men that like men is Wakefield Pool's Bible. It's really, really good. Now, it doesn't have like hardcore gay pornography for people that don't like that stuff. I guess you got to set some things aside because they are releasing some, you know, man on man action. Get over it. It's man on man action, whatever. But anyways, Bible is very, it's no dialogue. There's three acts and it's basically this filmmaker's vision of telling the Bible in a very sexual way. But like this, I watched this movie and I'm like, this should be like played like an art house cinema, like across the world. Like it's something that's very, 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 very good. And just something to see. Also we have, Death Force, is paired with the Vampire Huggers. Death Force is just great. Game Show Models, I would highly suggest. If you're into wacky shit, Night Train to Terror is fabulous. There's no other word for that one just because it's just a mind fuck. And Lust for Freedom, I would really recommend. That's a nice, like little, cheesy, nudie, women in prison, flick. Of course, Raw Force, which I know Sean will stand behind me on that one. Kind of the typical titles that you already know, but I would say some of the most like, some of the other ones that are not that well known, in porno, I would recommend Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls, Dracula Sucks, and Pretty Peaches. Cool. So that's my long ass list. I think it's a good starter kit.
My list is super. You know, I'm going to repeat a lot of stuff you said, but I haven't seen a lot of theirs yet because I've only stuck to the non porn stuff, which is probably not going to change in the near future, but. The first Vinegar Syndrome release I watched was Night Train to Terror, and that blew my mind. It's just a batshit anthology film that the connecting scenes, the wraparound scenes are just hilarious because it's like God and the devil playing chess on a train, right? Yeah. With a weird like disco 80s kind of disco band. Playing on the train and there's a party happening. Just wacky stuff. Graduation Day is, you know, for the slasher fans, something good to pick up. Runaway Nightmare, like I'm not sure. I think it's only available on DVD now. The Blu-ray sold out, but, that's like after I watched it, I didn't know if I was going to sell it or not. I didn't know if what I watched was genius or just complete idiocy that I shouldn't even have in my collection. I decided that it's so wacky I needed to keep it. But that thing's a lot of fun to watch in the right scenario for sure. Raw Force, of course. Buy that in a heartbeat. Like there's somebody on one of the Facebook forums or whatever Facebook groups I'm a part of, and they just finally bought a new Blu-ray player, and they're asking like, what should my first Blu-rays be? And I was like, dude, buy Raw Force. And then, of course, Christmas Evil is fantastic, and I think those are actually the only ones that I've actually seen. So I only recommend like what I've seen.
Porno.
I have Massage Parlor Murders. Haven't watched that yet. The cover is awesome.
You have Massage Parlor Murders?
Yeah, that's the.
You kind of own a porno.
I haven't watched it yet. The cover's awesome.
It's kind of like a porno. I'm excited to know your thoughts on that one.
Oh boy. But I definitely like the ones that I'm going to pick up when I had to choose my four. I'm definitely going to get Death Force. I'm going to get the Doll Squad. And then I have two more to kind of that I'm not sure what I'm going to get. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, mm-hmm. You have I think you get to pick those in May.
Yep.
So you have some time and probably some other stuff that will be released. I say Pretty Peaches
because you have Desiree Cousteau, and she's just a... Where is she all my life?
I don't know.
She's banging John Holmes. That's what she was doing,
I guess. All right. Well, that's our Vinegar Syndrome Virgin Survival Guide.
You're not going to be a virgin after you watch them.
Nope.
Sexy time. That's what I call it. Whenever I put it, like, whenever I pull one off the shelf and Janice is in the house, she's like, are you going to watch? Like, every time. Like, it's now it's just a common occurrence. Like, she'll come out and she'll just, like, look at the screen. I could be watching, like, anything other than porn. And she'll look at it and she goes, is this a porno? And I'm like, no. And she's like, oh, okay. But then, like, she'll come out, like, she'll hear, like, bumping and grinding. And then she'll pop her head out and she goes, are you watching porn out here? It's like, yeah. And then she'll just walk away. It's pretty funny.
Right. That would not fly in my house, which is fine. Everyone's different, and you gotta, you know, if you're married or have a significant other, you need to
just say it's for art. For the sake of art.
I know, huh? You know what I wanted to mention, what I want to get is sugar cookies, and you and Brian talked about it on the show before. And that's one that I definitely want to pick up, and I think people would appreciate that one.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I would start watching their stuff just to kind of know the direction they're going. So you kind of know what you're getting in with Sugar Cookies. Uh-huh. Sugar Cookies is weird because it's a comedy, it's a thriller, it's a horror film, it's very sexy, and it's just a weird, like, it's such a genre mashup movie. It's just it's really bizarre. I wouldn't go out on a limb to say it's, like, good, but I think it's directed by Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah.
Which is just – you kind of know how Troma was shaped then.
Interesting.
He's a goofball.
Yeah. And then you mentioned Pretty Peaches, and that one out of, like, everyone – like, people that I didn't expect to buy porno were all snatching up Pretty Peaches.
Well, I think people are, like we mentioned earlier, I think people are just coming around. Like, they're just, you know, and it's funny because whenever they started, I was like, who the hell's going to be into fucking hardcore pornography, like vintage hardcore pornography? Like, you know, because it's not glamorous. It's not very attractive because it's just so, like, even back in the day, like, even when I was younger and I got a hold of my parents' porn tapes, I watched them and I was like, ugh, kind of gross, you know. It's just like, because even, like, I mentioned Marilyn and the Senator, fucking Bill Marigold is eating greasy fucking chicken while he's getting a blowjob. It's just gross. Like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, there are some sexy things, like Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls is actually pretty sexy. Well,
pizza is delicious.
Well, I mean, they're not eating pizza, but, I mean, there's some of these that are like, oh, yeah, okay. I got a little bit of a pinch of the tent here. But, you know, for the most part, they're not that – but it's surprising because I guess it's kind of a nostalgia thing. It is the same thing with horror films. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, if we probably saw the horror films that, you know, that we love and care about so much in the 70s and 80s, if we saw those today, we probably would say, oh, they're not that great.
Yeah.
But I think it has to deal with nostalgia. And you remember maybe watching those if you're older, you probably remember going to the theater, or getting tapes or beta or something and watching them. And if you're, you know, younger, it's, I don't know, Desiree.
Morbid curiosity Desiree. I mean, you look at the cover and even if you run into that, you'd be like, wow, that's a pretty woman right there. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's, this week's show.
This week's trash?
Yeah. Trashy time.
Is that how
sexy
you think
time.
Of the show?
No, I'm just kidding.
Sexy time.
We're stepping outside the Sean circle of comfort talking about this stuff a little bit. We're, you know, kind of a couple steps removed from my comfort zone. Let's just say that.
I'm going to send you dick pics.
No, please no. Dear God, no.
Everybody send Sean dick pics.
Oh, God.
Dick pics. You're going to get so many dick pics from me.
All right. I look forward to that. Anyway, all right. Well, we want to thank, of course, oneofus.net for hosting the show. Also, nerdly.co.uk for hosting our show over there. And Wolfman of Mars for providing the show's music. You can Google all them. You know, I need to get a links page for all these people, and I haven't done that for the site yet.
Yeah, we've only been around for a year.
I know. I gotta step it up. And, you know, you can check us out over at thescreamcast.com and find our Twitters and Facebooks over there. And that's it. That'll do it for this week's show.
And thank you, Vinegar Syndrome, for everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, huge thanks to them for coming on. I mean, I think they're the first people involved with a distribution company that...
Nico B. called up X Necromantics episode.
Other than Nico, of course. Nico, how can I forget Nico and Cold Epics? I'm a bastard. He was the first one.
Yes.
But I think it's cool. Like, it's great talking to these guys, and I want to have it happen more. So
I'll work on it, Sean. See, that's how Sean does shit on. He doesn't text me. He just fucking hints on it in the show.
Yeah.
Like, Brad, go do this. All right.
I'm the idea guy. I just throw out the ideas.
Oh God. Whatever, the idea guy. We'll just say not all those ideas are good.
Hey, I never said I was perfect. All right.
I think you are.
All of you guys have a great week. We will talk to you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. The party's just begun.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. All right. I'm going to find a bunch of that music. Goodbye.
Dick pics.
No.
You can get so many.